Seven County Infrastructure Coalition versus Eagle County, Colorado. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in the case regarding the Uinta Basin Railway Project. Now, the case before the Supreme Court has significance not only for the Uinta Basin Railway, but will likely affect the future of transportation infrastructure and, well, other infrastructure for the entire country. Seven County Infrastructure Coalition assert Surface Transportation Board has thoroughly and properly considered all proximate environmental impacts of the project. Now, opponents of the railway include numerous environmental groups and, of course, Eagle County, Colorado. Now, the Center for Biological Diversity issued a statement which read in part, "This is a disgraceful attempt to get the federal agencies to ignore many harms the railway will cause to the air and to the public of the Uinta Basin and Gulf Coast communities. A robust review of all the train's threats is what the law requires and is crucial for protecting people near and far from this railway." Uinta County Deputy Attorney John Sturmer, who represented Uinta County for well over a decade, attended Tuesday's Supreme Court hearing and is joining us to discuss his impressions. First of all, John, I want to thank you for your years of service that you've invested in the project to get us to this point. I know there have been a lot of moving parts and a lot of people, but you've had a significant contribution. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
What has been your involvement in the project, John?
My involvement actually started 6+ years ago. We were identifying transportation corridors that could possibly be used for the rail, and then also was brought on to work on some endangered species analysis, specifically looking at sage grouse habitat along various routes. And then took a step away from that as they were working through all the permitting through the Surface Transportation Board. And then last August, so about a year and a half ago, I started working part-time for the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. And now, as I go on to private practice, SCIC will be still be one of my clients. And so I've worked on it from the Uinta County side. I've worked on it from the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition side.
Now, obviously, the Supreme Court wouldn't have agreed to hear this case if they didn't see something with the lower court's ruling that alarmed them or concerned them. Why do you think they agreed to hear the case?
Well, that's what we're banking on. Of course, sometimes the Supreme Court does take cases to affirm a lower court's opinion. We don't think that's going to be the case here. Looking at the environmental law track record of the Supreme Court over the past four to five years, we feel strongly that the Supreme Court took this case to provide additional guidance from 20-year-old decisions that they issued that the Ninth Circuit and the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals are not following.
You heard today's argument. Are there other arguments that are expected, or was that it?
That was it, yeah. So a briefing concluded, so there is no more written record that goes into the court. They had their oral argument today, which was very, very instructive and sometimes very entertaining. And then that concluded. We were in the Supreme Court chambers for about 2 hours. And it concluded, and we expect hopefully a written decision coming out. We really hope by the end of March.
It'll take that long for a decision to be made.
There's a lot that goes on. The justices obviously work together to see where the majority opinion is going to land, and then the clerks draft the opinion, and then the opinions are circulated, edits come back. Some of these opinions can be 70 to 100 pages long, depending on the issues at hand. Not expecting this one to be that long, but just using that as an example. And so that takes a while as they are issuing decisions that not only affect the parties to the litigation, but they are the Supreme Court. So their decisions have nationwide effects.
Now, Justice Gorsuch recused himself from the case due to potential conflicts, from his previous private practice client. How do you think that his recusal will affect the case? After all, he was a conservative justice.
Yes. We definitely were counting him in the column that we think would be more agreeable to our position. Of course, the justice did not give any explanation of why he recused himself. It was at the late stage, the week before oral argument was given. Notice said was that he was recusing himself because of the new ethics rules that were issued by the Supreme Court. There's speculation that because he had represented an oil company, an individual that's based in Colorado, and that individual filed a friend of the court brief in this case and cited that he has some assets in the Uinta Basin, that might be the reason why. But it's all it is speculation. The meat of it, though, is it does change the math a little bit. You still have to have five justices to get a majority opinion. So instead of having what most would say a 6-3, there may be now it may be a 5-3. But depending on how we interpret the questioning that was given today, there were some solid questions coming from what would be deemed the more liberal side of the court that seemed to agree that the STB went as far as they needed to in issuing their decision that they should be given deference in that decision. So who knows at that point, right? I mean, if people could predict the Supreme Court before they actually issued their opinion, well, they'd be more wealthy than I am.
Well, sometimes you can get impression, you know, when you're sitting in front of someone listening to the oral arguments, just reading body language and their tone when they're asking questions along with the content. What was your impression? Now, I want to say off the record, but hey, we're on the radio talking to thousands of people.
That's fine.
What is your impression of how the vote will go? I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire on that, but who's going to win the Super Bowl?
This was one of those cases that you would much rather be the petitioner than the respondent in this case.
Okay,
that's probably the best that I could give. Because sometimes you know you just don't know. Justices and judges and district court judges, when they hear a legal position, you know they'll poke around the edges. They'll kick the tires. They'll move things around to just see where the stress points are in any given legal theory. So in hearing certain questions from the judges, you don't know exactly why they're asking the questions they're asking, except that you know that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking legal theories and trying to get them to their breaking point so that then they can see how does this rule, if we were to implement this rule using these words, how much traction will it get? What would be the scope of that new rule? How much application would it have nationwide? I do have to say, though, the impression after the court hearing felt good. I mean, I'm saying that with a smile on my face.
You walked out of there feeling positive and
I enjoyed my lunch. I enjoyed my lunch. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What were the primary arguments against the project?
They focused a lot on just the first part of what the standard is, reasonable foreseeability. But the full quote is reasonable foreseeability of environmental impacts. And they dropped that part, and they've just focused on reasonable foreseeability, which means if it shows up in the public comment period, if the board happens to mention it, then a court is able to look at that and say, hey, look, you put it in your EIS. That meant that you knew that it was a possibility, which means that it's reasonably foreseeable. And so now you need to run that all the way down through the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland and take it as far as you can.
Just from a layman's perspective, their argument is environmental impacts, anything downstream of the 88 miles?
Upstream and downstream. So up into the Uinta Basin, and then down as far as the Gulf of Mexico.
So they're trying to affect our oil extraction industry here in the Uinta Basin.
They're definitely focused on that. They love to use the term that it is an oil train. Of course, it is a common carrier train, and there are a number of justices that focused on that, and we got out of the court today that it would be unlawful for the STB to actually focus on what goods the train was carrying because they're common carrier they can't look at the goods that are going on the train. But getting to that, the quote that you had from Wendy Parks from the Center for Biological Diversity, all due respect to her, even if, let's take her comment as true, that something from all of this is going to cause a disaster down in the Gulf states. We don't believe that. But let's assume that if it gets down there, it's going to cause an environmental disaster.
Okay.
If the operations down in the Gulf of Mexico, those Gulf states, if they have to change their operation in a way that modifies their air quality permit, they will have to go to the EPA, and they will have to go through the environmental review, which will address all of the parade of horribles that Wendy is concerned about. So for her to say, by doing this, it will cause that, is a complete falsehood. Because if they modify their refineries down there, or if there is, you know, she also mentioned all the drilling in the basin, which we actually hope that is the case.
Right.
When those plays go through their environmental review, they can raise all of those concerns at that point. And if there's merit to those concerns, BLM or BIA or the state of Utah through their environmental process, CITLA through, you know, CITLA and the state through their environmental process, they will address those concerns. They're trying to couch this in a way that if the court rules in this way, nobody will be looking out the window into the future. And it's just a complete falsehood, because all of those new actions at some distant time in the future will have to go through their own environmental review. And at that point, it is ripe, and nobody's disagreeing that they should look at it.
Do you think our Supreme Court justices, or the majority of them, at least five of them, saw through that?
Based on the questioning, they were definitely punching some holes in there.
All right. Well, I'm not going to push you any farther on that, because, you know, it's speculation.
Neither one of us knows who's going to win
the Super Bowl, right?
It gets to speculation. I mean, we could do what they do in the Super Bowl and see if there's a panda that wants to, like, chase two balls and pick one, and hopefully they pick SCIC's ball. I think we have better chances than that. Like I said, we walked out of the court. We feel pretty confident the way the oral arguments went. Here's the bottom line, though, Steve, and I think you know this because you know the value of this project, and all of our listeners that you have, they know the value of this project. Regardless of what the Supreme Court does, if we hit the home run, that is amazing, not only for the project, but it's amazing for all other federal projects. That would be great. If they don't couch it in such broad terms, but we still win on the railroad, obviously that would still be good.
How many people, friends of the court brief, did we have file on behalf of the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition's argument?
It was about 45 to 50. It was 20 separate briefs. And it was 45 to 50 entities and individuals and governments.
So how many did the opposition have? Do you remember?
Six to eight. Somewhere in there.
And they were all probably
and they had other parties as well that may have got them up to about 15 to maybe 20 different entities.
Do those arguments have weigh in on the decision? Do they consider those greatly, or are they just kind of like a public comment? Oh, okay, we have this number.
It will depend. We feel very strongly that the friend of the court briefs from the Ute tribe,
yes,
and from the state of Utah and from their sister states. Remember, we had half the nation, 25 out of the 50 states filed in favor of our position. We feel like those are going to have a great deal of sway. The tribe's amicus brief is what it's called. They had not only the tribe, but they had Western States Tribal Nations, which is a very, very good organization of exactly what their name says. And so we were very grateful for their input. And these are production-related states and tribes that need to be able to utilize the assets they have within their boundaries. And what? So we feel like those are very, very persuasive.
Was the D.C. Circuit Court ruling constitutional?
There haven't been any constitutional arguments made in this case. It's all dealing with the statutes. So I would say that it's just a constitutional argument isn't part of the case.
Okay. All right. I mean, obviously, they, my opinion is they agreed to hear it because they saw something wrong. I just wonder if there was a prior decision that was made on the Supreme Court's behalf that they were concerned about.
Now, procedurally, when you say, is it constitutional, and you step back and say, what is the role of the circuit courts? The D.C. Circuit and the Ninth Circuit, for the past 20 years, Supreme Court issued the public citizen case 20 years ago, they have been very reluctant to follow that in any shape or form. So them following the proper role of the lower appellate courts, we would argue that they're completely stepping out of line, and said as much in our brief, and that's why we needed the Supreme Court to hear this case.
All right. Well,
and asking them for additional guidance, right? We don't want them just to restate what they said 20 years ago, because obviously that's not working. We have 20 years of history showing that it's not in those two circuits. So we are asking the Supreme Court to tighten it up.
Well, we'll look forward to their answer in mid-March, you think?
We're really hoping that by the end of March we will have the written decision.
Hey, listen, John, thank you for representing the county so well and representing this project so well with the Uinta Railway Project. We appreciate all of the time and the effort that you've put and talent that you've put in representing the Uinta Basin and on this project. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and always glad to help out and be a part of the community.
All right. John Sturmer, Deputy County Attorney for Uinta County. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thanks for joining us.